I have two parts of the talk, and one will for GIS for siding, that's a geographical information system. And the other part is here's the siding. And then so during this workshop, all the tutorials and everything, so we were dealing with those things. So here's the chemistry and metallurgical data sets to get those organizations, and just so I can get the data from those organizations. And also other organizations are valuable for CIDR. So it's kind of multidisciplinary environment. Has a lot of data communication. So what I was trying to stress up here, CIDR needs an environment to connect these data sets and then do the service to its members or the community. So to do that, so that's the geographical information system. So I was trying to play out that that's not the exact show. Whether I just try to download CMTs, and so that was one paper, 11 months, data sets. It's showing that it's a production environment, and it's kind of moving the ages from the. So this is not I'm trying to integrate. This is just showing what you can do with this and quickly map it. And also you can check out what these are all about. And here's the sort of two data set, and then give the information on this inside. So I can do and do some sort of query selection methods, and then change these whatever I want to map. So whatever I can do with this ArcGIS ArcMap or ArcView, that's the Esri product. So I can do something on my laptop, but also whatever I can do, I can just transfer it to the web environment and use internet and let the community do it also. So therefore, the GIS server, which you need it for CIDR, maybe. So that's what I suggest. So server GIS can be used from Esri webpage. The main large GIS database, just such as we did for workshop, and internet delivery of geographical information. That's the geographical information means there's geographically located information, and then is you can use software and hardware, and then you can back them up and also into depending on your goals. So that's the whole thing. So you can do the hosting for separate GIS portals for information discovery and use. Also, let other your community or other organizations access your data, and then distribute such as distribute GIS data management and analysis. So whatever you can do, you can distribute, and internet delivery of comprehensive GIS functionality. So these are available. So what I see is large data sets grown up every day. So maintenance comes everywhere, so you have to manage it. So there is a tool out there, maybe you can use. So the second part of the code is first with that estimation using steps or a second method. And this is basically using the three weekly weekly and monthly basis. So what it does is hypothetically, if you think this is P and then it would be weekly and a little less basis, and if you have side with them and then you're a good expert and then if you look at it by eye and you can observe it would be PT if you have a good cultural PTS. But now it's again derived, so we can deal with directly from the waveform and using sepsis method. Sepsis method is just taking, sepsis stacking method is just taking enough, large enough window, it's covering these three faces. And then moving that window along the seismogram and then stacking that path, moving along the, and then cutting those and then taking the clear transform and then pulse spectrum and then rich asthma and gets the sepsis. So and then stacking them all together. So this is the theory, here's that. The signal construction of the two delay, like with the SP, and then here's the three transform on pulse spectrum model, and then inverse three transform or logarithmic power inverse three transform. So the example I used for this in the Hebron Park, and this is Hebron coastal area, and here's the Smyrna or Hebron model name. And we had three earthquakes, a small pond, 9.5, and within the sea area. And so how I can do the sepsis stacking and then determine the estimate of those depths of those compound earthquakes and then locate them and get the geometry of the fault. So here's that event first, with this sepsis stacking with this high pit.
Can you put that on the slideshow so it'll be a little bigger?
Oh, put that on the slideshow. Okay, yeah, that was okay. All right, here's that three earthquakes.
Sorry.
So I said there's something wrong with this. Okay. So three events, event one and two and three. So these are the one station, according, I think in Germany it's 1,500 kilometers distance. So I got, for the sepsis stacking, I got this pick. I saw here a little PVP, here's a little PVP, here's a little PVP. And I can read those times for those phases. And then for the average crustal velocity, and then this two-way time, for example, here is about, let's say, four seconds, and 2 seconds, the two-way time, and it's 2 seconds times 6 kilometers per second, is 12 kilometers per day. So basically, and then you compare them, and also if I locate those earthquakes and then you project to the surface and then look at the relocation of the earthquakes and it will give me the right geometry. And here's the location and project back there and then you can calculate the deep, it's 59 degrees. And here's the comparison of ISC and little PVP isolated also, reported. And then also other depths before it. So these are the hard depths. So it's here is the shallow one is missed. You missed up by ISC. Yeah, here is that also. We have a focal mechanism. So we have a double solution over there, and then so I can locate this project and project back to the surface. Here's the beeping site. So I can pick the the right direction for the complementary too. So it's complementary. And sorry, this method provides more accurate depth estimates for classic earthquakes using one or more regional seismic stations. Also, you can use seismic stations to stack them if you have more. And also, you can use only one seismic station if you're willing to use. So, relative locations of regional events with these depth constraints give accurate high percentages that define the active fault regime for any tectonic region, such as this region. For events large enough to have well-defined focal mechanisms for the fault geometry and slip at the high percentage can be determined as which one. If there are several well-defined earthquakes at different depths on a given fault, the fault can be mapped in the three-dimensional and related to tectonic stress regime equivalent in the area. So it's pretty useful, and I think somebody was you were saying if we can use this little PVP upside down, and we can add to this going surface instead of transceiver, it might be upside down. Yeah.
Decide the size of the thing of your moving how do you decide
the windows? Moving windows?
Yeah, how do you decide a big
that's how you recover the little PVP, and then there's a good enough distance to you can march between P and S. And
no, what I mean is how do you decide because it takes part of the side of an airplane thing, and you stop it somewhere. Where do you stop it? I mean, the side.
So I pick a P first. Mm-hmm. So I start with P, and so first window P will be the last P.
So you have to.
So and then move, and then get overlapping windows. And then take get their substrings, and then step them. I have a bunch of slides showing step by step.
So are you suggesting we should start a database for cider?
Yeah, it's a simple one. It's of course you don't have data, but other organizations here. So this is organizational based approach. So then it's members communicating with other data sets. So it will be larger in the future, or when you deal with. And will be a problem. And eventually, you will need a place to supply these kind of runs. And a simple one is just supporting the FTP and mark environment. Or just a website and saying, okay, you can go to this link to get this data. Where, when you start to communicate with other disciplines, and there are problems. And some of them just location problems. And some locations are sensitive, some are not, and some of them standing problems. So those will grow, and like an experience in the past, since 1995, I have been dealing with these. So it will be trouble.
Okay.
Don't ask me for help.
Of course.
How much user-friendly is a GIS interface?
GIS has...
Because everybody should be able to upload easily the things.
In past, we were using only GIS softwares, and one of them this is software engineering fund. So selecting software, so we have already just a lot of softwares. But this software has really good update and for future works and format updates, and so it has graphical abilities like 3D, 2D, all of them, and there is also important things, SQL and spreadsheet type and Visual Basic and C++ types, and also incorporated. And what else I can say, it's 3D, and then server-based. So whatever I can do on my laptop or my desktop, I have this license or something very expensive, so everybody cannot get it. Therefore, we just do it, okay, through the web page. So you just enter, that's interactive mapping, those kind of things. So for example, Adam can go to the website and then map it quickly. Whatever he needs to look at other data sets like immunological or visual chemistry.
Thank you.